I come in walking on eggs.
You wouldn't have cracked a single shell.
How long have you been watching me?
Just long enough to find out that if the doctor business ever goes bad, you've got a great future as a cat burglar.
Well, we keep the same hours.
Oh, poor dear. How's the fascia, girl?
Nothing serious. Just a case of too much birthday cake and not enough stomach.
You could have handled it over the phone.
I sure could have. You know, darling, I'm thinking seriously of cutting down on these night calls.
Oh, you've been saying that for years, but every time that phone rings, Paul Revere rides again.
Well, it's different now that Thompson has his office open. You know, he's taking a lot of night calls for the other doctors, and glad to do it.
Fine, that solves all of your problems.
Yes, bright young fella. Johns Hopkins Medical School, 2 years at Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as though I were turning my patients over to someone who isn't qualified.
Of course not.
I've served this community pretty conscientiously, and I think I've earned an occasional night of undisturbed sleep.
No question about it.
Well, I have my office patients to think of, too. You know, they see me coming in every morning, hollow-eyed, dragging my feet. Dr. Stone. Oh, hello, Ed. Ed Kirkhofer. Yeah? Any temperature? Any pain? Well, that doesn't sound very serious. All right, Ed, I'll be right over.
Come on, Smitty, a boat trip? Whose brainstorm was that? Girls? Let me rephrase the question. When do we leave? You know, that's the trouble with you, Smitty. You never tell a guy the important things first. Sure, I'm in. How much? $650? Yeah, I know it's reasonable, but at the minute, anything over $2. Hey, how about that buck and a half you owe me? Yeah, that'd help. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I can scratch it up someplace. I'll let you know. Say, Mirzy, that sure is a sharp outfit. You know, you should always wear green. It really does something for you.
The answer is no.
How do you like that? A guy says to his sister that she looks neat, and what does he get?
No.
Mirzy, you don't even know what I'm going to ask you.
Jeff, I know everything but the amount.
$450.
Well, I'm glad we got that out into the open.
Well, Mirzy, look, Smitty's getting up this great boat trip, and we're going to...
Well, while you're on this fundraising campaign, doesn't he owe you some money? Why didn't you start with him?
Look, if he had it, he'd pay me, but...
Well, did you ever consider being so crude as to ask him for it? Now, he seems to have enough money for this boat trip.
Well, that's just the whole point. He's getting up this whole thing. What's the use? You wouldn't understand.
No, I understand perfectly, Jeff. You're nothing but a quivering, weak-kneed, spineless...
I hate to interrupt this clinical diagnosis, but what's it all about?
Dad, we may as well face it. Your son and my brother is a pigeon.
A pigeon?
Smitty has owed him $1.50 for more than a month, and he's afraid to ask him for it.
It's only 3 weeks.
And come to think of it, didn't you lend Robbie $2 when he was here the other night?
Well, he needed a book for his science class. I couldn't let him down. Besides, you know what the president says about encouraging scientists.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad somebody understands. Robbie was broke.
For your information, I saw scientist Robbie bowling last night with Sue Donovan.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a scientist has to have some relaxation. You know, I can't study all the time.
Well, let's just forget the whole thing. Next time, I'll know better than to ask my sister for a measly $4.50.
Well, at least something good came out of all of this.
Say, Dad, you wouldn't entertain the notion of giving me an advance on next week's allowance,
would you? Not so fast, Jeff. Don't you think you ought to make an effort to collect your debts?
Well, gee, Dad, I can't count on Smitty and Robbie sure to be broke by now. Unless maybe Mark's got some.
Mark? Jeff, don't you know it's illegal to operate a finance company without a license?
Well, it's only a couple of bucks.
I admit, generosity is a virtue, but you don't have to go overboard.
Well, gee, what are friends for?
Well, you better get yourself a few enemies if you want to stay solvent.
Now, look, Jeff. I'm not suggesting that you be tight-fisted or hard-boiled, but there's a sensible compromise somewhere. Now, your friends are taking advantage of you. They're imposing on you, and I think you ought to take a stand. After all, you don't want to be known as a...
A pigeon.
I guess you're right, Dad. I'll give him a few more days and I'll really crack down.
Oh, that'll be kind of late if you want to take that boat trip on Saturday.
I was going to play tennis anyway. Nobody's going to talk me out of that.
Oh, that's a forthright statement.
Hi,
dear.
Hi, darling.
Talk you out of what?
Oh, he's just making noises, trying to...
Never mind. Mom, have you seen my tennis racket anyplace?
Well, that's where it normally is, anyplace. Don't you remember, dear? You lent it to Jerry. You know, honey, I've been thinking.
Do you suppose we could stretch a point and advance Jeff the money for that boat trip?
Absolutely not. If he wants to go badly enough, let him collect his debts.
Well, you're probably right, but you know how hard it is to ask people for money.
Well, his friends seem to find it relatively easy.
Poor Jeff.
I don't feel sorry for him. He's got to learn to stand up for his own rights.
I agree, but on the other hand, maybe it isn't Jeff's fault entirely. In a way, he comes by all of this naturally.
I think you have a point there. If his mother weren't such a softy.
I was thinking of his father.
Me? Well, what kind of mixed up logic led you to that conclusion?
Honey, you're a fine one to criticize, Jeff. How many patients owe you money? Hmm? Now, tell me, how many unpaid bills do you have lying in your office?
A few. That's an occupational hazard with doctors. Hmm.
Seems to me the last time Charlie went over the books, the hazards were gaining on you.
Well, you know accountants, they can't stand the sight of red ink. Anyway, I've been meaning to send out a few reminders.
I imagine Jeff means to also.
Okay, you've made your point. I'll take care of it the first of the week.
That's what Jeff said this afternoon.
All right. The first meeting I have, all right?
How about tonight?
Yeah. Darling, the files are at the office. You know, it'll take a little time to separate the delinquent accounts.
Tomorrow night?
Well, aren't we seeing the Harrisons tomorrow night?
That's Thursday night.
Oh, that's right. We're going to the hobby show tomorrow night.
That's Friday night.
Well, it shoots the week.
Tomorrow night's still open.
All right. Tomorrow night. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Well, two-thirds of you, at any rate.
Jeff, breakfast.
You're right there.
He's calling Jerry about the tennis racket.
Well, looks as though our missionary work is beginning to bear a little fruit.
It's about time.
All he needed was a pep talk.
So you see, Jerry, if you don't mind, I mean, if it won't inconvenience you, I'd like to play tennis Saturday. Oh, you're going to play Saturday, too. Well, gee, I guess I should have given you more notice. Hey, I got a great idea. Maybe we can both use it. Yeah, I was figuring to play around 9 o'clock in the morning. You're playing at 9, too. Hey, no, that's okay. I can play in the afternoon. Yeah, no problem. Okay, fine, Jerry. Thanks a lot. I guess I shook him up a little. Get my racket back.
Oh, that ought to come in very handy on that boat trip.
You know, Dad, you were right. You just have to be a little firm and people have more respect for you.
Well, that's usually the way it works, Jeff, but not always, you know. You can't generalize. There are sometimes extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell you yesterday. There were extenuating circumstances.
Oh, no, Jeff. In your case, you loaned money to your friends in good faith. The only extenuating factor is the time they're taking to pay you back.
Well, of course, you know, there's more than one kind of debt. When people perform a service, they don't lend you any money.
Your coffee's getting colder.
Take an automobile mechanic. When he takes the dents out of your fenders, rinses your carburetor, or whatever it is he does, he's entitled to be paid for his time and his effort, not to mention his knowledge and his training. Wouldn't you agree, dear?
When you put it so subtly, what can I say?
I don't get it either, Dad.
Don't try, Jeff. Just realize that your mother has a remarkable way of getting a point across.
Well, how is project collection coming along? Are you almost finished?
I haven't even started. You see, what I'm trying to do is to make up a general type of letter that I can alter to suit individual cases.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Now, it's a pretty touchy business, dunning people for money. You want to be firm, but at the same time, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Well, I know it isn't easy, but if anyone can do it diplomatically, it's you.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence. Sit down, darling. I want you to see how this sounds.
All right.
Dear Mr. or Mrs., whichever the case may be.
That shouldn't offend anyone.
Upon going over my books, I find you are in arrears the sum of whatever the amount may be. You think in arrears sounds too formal, too businesslike?
You could say you owe me the sum of whatever the amount is.
No, it's much too blunt. No, let's leave it in arrears for the time being. I am sure this is due to an oversight on your part, or it might even be my fault.
Your fault?
Please, let me finish. I might have forgotten to send a bill.
I thought your receptionist took care of that.
She might have forgotten.
Is she ever?
Darling, there's always a first time. Besides, it sounds good. It won't make them feel too guilty. In any event, I would deeply appreciate it if you would make payment at your earliest possible convenience. Firm enough?
Honey, I guess that's as firm as you can get.
Darling, you know, these are my patients. I can't very well say, pay up or I'll send the FBI.
Well, of course not, but
Maybe I could mention how long the bill is overdue, but that might be rubbing it in a little too much. Oh, I think this will do it. Hello? Oh, hi, Sid. I'm rather busy at the moment. Let me ask Donna. Darling, it's Sid Hammond wants to know if we'd like to go to the movies tonight with him and Helen.
It's up to you, dear.
You know, I've finished the roughest part. The rest is no problem.
Whatever you want, dear.
Sid, I think we better skip it this time. Yeah, I really have too much correspondence to catch up on. Yeah, thanks for calling, Sid. Bye-bye. You were right, darling.
I didn't say a thing.
No, but I heard you thinking. Well, I have a job to do, and the sooner I get started, the sooner I get finished. What does they say? Procrastination is the thief of time.
That's what they say.
Let's see. Stationery. Envelopes. Stamps. Some all set. That's delinquent accounts.
Is this what you're looking for?
Oh, right under my nose.
Is this all? I mean, the way Charlie talked, I thought there were at least...
Well, I thought I'd start with the most flagrant ones.
Oh.
Hargrove. 5 house calls for little Terry. Anti-tetanus shot. X-rays. That's for the time he broke his wrist. Mm. 2 office visits.
Sounds like the Hargroves saw more of you than we did.
Well, kids had a pretty rough time. You know, the only thing that bothered him about that wrist, he was afraid he'd never be able to throw a curve again.
Oh.
I just told him to stick to the slow balls for a while. Willowood. Say, did I ever tell you about the time little Greg had the measles? You know how many freckles that kid has.
I don't know the Willowoods.
Well, take my word for it. Anyway, little Greg had the measles for 2 days before anybody knew it.
Alex, are you trying to collect your delinquent accounts, or are you trying to write your memoirs?
I just thought it was rather amusing. Oh, I wonder if I should press the Willowitz just now. Poor guy, you know, he has to add another room to his house.
They're expecting another baby.
Alex, I have a feeling we should have gone to the movies tonight.
Oh, no. I started out to do a job, and I'm going to finish it. Ah, I see Sam Bigelow hasn't paid a bill in over a year. I'd better get after him. On the other hand, I don't want to seem ungrateful.
Ungrateful for what?
Well, Sam has recommended quite a few patients. The Hargroves, the Willowitz.
That figures.
Why don't I save Sam till a little later? Besides, it's been a very slow year for the furniture business. And if you think the furniture business was bad, how would you like to have owned a car wash during last rainy season? Which brings us to Kirchhoffer.
Ed.
Yeah, my old bowling pal, golfing buddy, and he owes me... Wow.
Well, after all, what are friends for?
This bill is almost as old as our friendship. Now, just because we socialize with the Kirchhoffers, that's no reason to let him take advantage of me. Ed's in very good shape financially. The sporting goods store is doing fine. He bought a new car.
Oh, well, don't forget, he drove the old car a solid year and a half.
He's a big wheeler and dealer. He's president of the men's club.
Well, that's just an honorary job. No salary.
Darling, I know you think I'm a bad businessman.
Well, dear, you began the evening with 14 delinquent accounts. You have decided to clamp down on 2, which doesn't exactly qualify you as the Bernard Baruch of the medical profession.
I'll try to explain to you that with those other patients, there were extenuating circumstances. But in Ed's case, there is no hardship involved. He owes me the money, he's quite able to pay it, and that's exactly what I'm going to tell him in no uncertain terms. Dear Ed... You think I ought to make that dear friend, Ed? Come on, honey, don't tamper with... affection.
Honey, I don't want people going around saying I wonder what he sees in her.
Well, darling, if you look any better...
Well, I never... Jeffrey Stone, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Shall we take the cowardly way out?
Let's live dangerously.
Mother! Daddy! Your son has hit a new low, even for him. Just take a look at this.
I, Mary Stone, have this day borrowed from Jeffrey Stone the sum of 50 cents, which I promise to pay in full within a period of 1 week. If for any reason I can't come up with a loot, I promise to pay a penalty of 5 cents for each day I'm in default.
Huh. I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I don't think it'll ever hold up in court.
Look at him. Jeffrey Stone, robber baron.
Now, what's all the fuss about? Your friendly loan company is letting you have 50 cents just on your signature. And we're not even asking for any collateral.
Oh, really, Jeff? Your own sister?
At least you know she's not going to skip town.
Well, I took that into consideration. I mean, she's getting it on a special family rate. For anyone else, the penalty would have been 10 cents a day.
Oh, I'll just bet. Do you know his friends don't have to pay him back at all? Why don't you start collecting from them?
The wheels are already in motion. I served notice on all of them this afternoon. Tomorrow's the deadline.
Hear, hear.
Yes, sir, you are looking at the new Jeffrey Stone. The old pigeon has flown south forever. From now on, I'm looking out for number one. Right, Deb?
Huh? Oh, yes, Jeff.
You know, that little talk we had was the best thing that ever happened. I mean, it sure put me on the right track. I'm through being a softy to everybody who comes with a hard luck story.
Honey, it's getting a little late, don't you?
Well, what about this? Don't you think this grubby little money letter should be told a thing or two?
Your move, dear.
We all know where you stand, don't we, Deb?
Well, let's examine the situation. Mary, you want to borrow some money from Jeff, but he's imposed certain conditions which you object to. Jeff, you're willing to loan her the money, but you've established a principle, and you're going to stick to it.
The defense rests.
Well, Your Honor?
Yeah. Well, seems there's only one way to settle the situation. Mary, what was the amount you wanted to borrow?
The tremendous sum of 50 cents.
Will you take 2 quarters? Oh, hi, Jeff.
Well, I did it. I've just been out collecting all my old debts, and every last one of them is paid in full.
Oh, yes, I almost forgot. The new Jeff.
Huh? Yeah, and you know, it's pretty easy, too. I just use the old Stone technique. Be firm, be tough, be paid.
Yeah, that's quite a motto. Maybe you ought to have that engraved on the family crest.
Yeah.
Jeff, is this yours?
Oh, yeah, my mom's going to take it upstairs.
Where'd you get all this stuff?
Well, it's a payoff. I've been out collecting my debts.
Only that box is full of money.
Oh, no, Dad. Look at this stuff. Now, this is for the $2 that Smitty owed me. Uh-huh. And I got my tennis racket back from Jerry. And Mark gave me this glove. It's a Babe Ruth model.
Looks like the Babe might have used it.
Well, maybe I could just ditch up some of these loose seams.
Guess it wasn't what you expected, huh?
Oh, now, Jeff, you know, there's nothing wrong with the barter system. It goes back a long way. As a matter of fact, you know, it wasn't too long ago that doctors were being paid in goods. You know, produce. A case of measles might bring a couple of dozen eggs or a side of bacon. A tonsillectomy, half a cow. As I understand it, the practice still exists in some parts of the country.
You know, honey, little Terry Hargrove's father works in an airplane factory. Maybe you could get a propeller.
Hey, Dad, don't tell me you're having trouble collecting, too.
Oh, of course not, Jeff. No, it's just that some of my patients have been a little negligent, and I've had to send out a few reminders.
Attaboy, Dad. Just remember the old Stone motto. Be firm, be tough, be paid.
Yes.
What is that?
Oh, just something Jeff dreamed up. Seemed to have brought results.
But not to change the subject, have your letters brought any response?
But, darling, I just wrote them the other night. You know, the post office is fast, but don't expect miracles.
True. Especially when you use the inside pocket of your jacket as a mailbox.
What? How about that? I forgot to mail them.
Honey, you know what you are? You're a great, big, soft-hearted fraud.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Honey, you're about as tough as tapioca, and you're never going to change. You're always going to be one of those dedicated doctors who has about as much business sense as little old Peep.
All right. So I'm a pigeon.
Yes, you are. But you're my pigeon.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I wrote in them. Do you think maybe I was, well, a little abusive or nasty? I mean, do you think maybe I could have been a little more friendly?
Well, of course, you could have signed them love and kisses.
What's bothering you, dear?
Well, I ran into Ed Kirchhoffer this afternoon. Now, he didn't mention the letter, but... Well, I sensed a decided chill in the air, as if I'd insulted him.
Well, I wouldn't lose any sleep over that.
All you did was send him a little reminder. Anyone else would have sent that bill to a collection agency.
Well, what's he got to be peeved over? I mean, it's not as if I owed him the money.
I'd forget about it. And if you're worried about he's using another doctor...
Oh, I just wish he would.
Yeah.
Of all the unappreciative, ungrateful... Dr. Stone. Oh, hello, Ed. Ed Kirchhoffer. Well, what's up, Ed? Oh? Oh, what's wrong with her? A little temperature? Well, maybe I better come over and have a look at her. No, no, Ed. It's no trouble at all.
Has been a Screen Gems film presentation from the Hollywood studios of Columbia Pictures.